Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from that YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and back alongside me, it is of course, Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I mean, I underestimated how hot it is in here, actually.
Weirdly hot, right?
Yeah.
Well, you'll be glad to hear that we won't have to put up with these weird temperatures much longer.
No.
There is big news, and we're teasing it today.
Oh, are we?
And we're, well, because we're teasing it for our Behind the Glass audience before the Seen Through Glass audience find out. But essentially, we are going to be moving, and things are going to be going up a big level.
So we need to go to a lift to go to the next office. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, we're going to be climbing stairs. That's what I said. But yes, all big changes are ahead for this podcast, but also for Seen Through Glass. I have to say, largely as a result of our amazing patrons.
Yes.
I know we bang on about them a lot. And actually, today we're going to be joined by a patron towards the end of the show. Alex, one of our amazing patrons, top level patron, is going to be joining us for a bit of chit chat. But that group has kind of enabled, pushed, motivated me to take the step that I was planning to do at the end of last year, and you know about, and classic me, had a bit of a flap, and
as you always do.
As I always do. Well, I don't like spending money. but now with the support of the patrons, I thought, screw it, go big or go home. Let's go up a level. So yes, that's you kind of get a gist, you kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. That's all we're going to say for now. But I think it's the penultimate episode from this studio, and so therefore, Tony, don't worry. Hopefully, when we're in our new facility, we'll have temperature regulation.
Air conditioning, you mean?
Nah, don't get ahead of yourself. It's not that fancy. But maybe we'll have the opportunity.
So this is the last time in here, maybe?
No, I think maybe we'll do one more in here.
We're going to squeeze one more in.
I think we'll squeeze one more in. But okay. Yeah, TBC.
I mean, I won't be sorry. But no.
You've never liked this place, have you?
Not really, no.
No, it is. It's done well for me because it's convenient.
It's literally, yeah.
Yeah, literally, it's a cupboard. Anyway, you've been away from the show for a couple of episodes. I had to do a few by myself, which I feel like they never go down well, those solo episodes. People just go, oh, where's Tony? This podcast's crap without Tony.
Really? That's very kind of you.
Really overinflates your ego, which upsets me massively. No. But what's been going on? I've been on a road trip, obviously, which we're going to come back to. But what have you been up to? What's been going on at the old shop?
What, the old shop?
The old dealership, yeah.
Not loads. It's quieting down a bit this month. When is the last time I saw you? Was it this month?
End of July.
Month? Okay, fine. So yeah, so new month, August, obviously. We're still doing all right.
Still doing bits.
Yeah, but August is predominantly fairly quiet anyway because everyone goes away on holiday. And I think people still have. So I know a number of people have gone away. So
so do I.
But well, you did.
I know.
But yeah, we're all right, mate. Just ticking along. Still really short of stock, but everyone is. And, you know, we'll get by.
Any juicy bits you want to shout out?
Got a Focus RS coming in. Got an Alfa Giulia coming in. Got a 718 GT4 coming in.
She's got some nice bits still. I mean, stock is tight, as you say, but you've got nice bits coming in.
I've still got some fairly decent stuff. I had a couple of Abarths come in.
Do you
want one?
Well, yes.
One's yellow.
Stop trying to ruin me financially. Just as we make this big move, soon to be revealed.
I'll have a deal with you.
You literally, Tony sends me on WhatsApp and goes, by the way, I got these two in. I'm like, why didn't you tell me this last week? So we've spoken about it before recently on the podcast, my kind of like itching for another, or as I keep, it needs to be a bath. You know, we as Brits say a bath.
Well, that's what
I'm going to have a bath. Yeah. But it's a bath.
above,
as the internet likes to tell me. And yes, you've got two really nice ones in because you did
two just right. Come yeah, in. Yeah.
Two just come in. Oh, I just. Oh, well, no. Let's wait and see. I need a few more sponsors. Harry's, if you want to come back,
or anyone else,
we could get going on that whole a bar thing. But I think, well, let's wait and see. I don't want to say never, but at the moment it might be.
They're both actually really nice. They're both too much, really too low mileage.
They're really nice specs. Yeah. The grey one especially. Yeah. I'd have the yellow paint on the grey spec, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The yellow one is nice, but there's a few other elements on the grey one that I prefer.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, nice cars. So screw you. Thanks for flaunting that in my face. Speaking of nice cars, though, and please try and be careful here. I've obviously just spent the last week in an Evora.
I saw. Is your back okay? No, are you fine?
You know what? Okay, I will level up here. I'll be completely honest and frank. I was expecting to say no.
Oh.
I've been really surprised by how comfortable that car has been. No joke. I mean, to try and overview the trip, Vicky came down with me for the first few days and then had to fly back to the UK for work. I carried on myself. Coronavirus just ended up being a complete disaster for my trip. I was constantly kind of like jumping around different regulations and stuff, which basically meant that I did a lot of motorway miles, a lot of long 5 to 10 hour drives in that thing. And I said to Vicky on the way down, bring pillows, bring blankets. It's not going to be
bring
comfy.
Another car.
It's a sports car. Like, this is like, did you say bring another car?
Yeah. Bring the X3.
But I said, but once we get to Monaco, just you wait till you hear this thing on Route La Turbie. And she's like, all right. But both of us, by the time we got to like Lyon, we were like, you know what? This has actually been pretty damn good. It's got all the infotainment you would need, Apple CarPlay, speakers and blah, blah, blah. The seats are a lot more comfy than you would think in a pretty hardcore Lotus two-seater sports car. It's got cruise control. And we just kind of just cruised along. Like, I genuinely was really impressed. The one negative about it is you sit kind of really in the car. The cockpit, the cabin is quite compact, so you feel very enclosed. And sometimes, especially when you're on a longer journey, you want to see more. You know, either you want to just push the roof off or you want to have a pan roof or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But my God, dude, that car on the Swiss mountain roads, I guess it competes the GT410 Sport, so it's the most sporty version. I guess it sort of competes with a GT4 Cayman. Maybe a Cayman GTS, I can't quite decide. I think from an emotion level, it's better than a 718 GT4.
Okay.
The noise is nuts.
Okay.
When you're on it, it's super engaging. I guess there's sides of it where I would stick with Porsche because I love Porsche and I guess the usability. And maybe it's a bit more practical, but on a pure driving pleasure level, I'd pick the 410 Sport.
Mm. Okay.
It was genuinely... But you remember when we did that? One of our first test drives we ever filmed together was a GT400.
I mean, I couldn't wait to get out of it.
You couldn't, but you have to admit, it sounded good.
It did sound very good.
It sounded very good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you sit, if anyone has not been in a Lotus before, you sit right in them, even more so than a McLaren. You get right in them.
In. Like, you're really part. Yeah, yeah, you're part of the car.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's engaging, though.
Really engaging.
I really enjoyed that. But look, lots has happened since we last sat down and spoke, and we are sort of almost due a bit of a car news episode because, as I say, lots has come out, lots has been revealed, lots of press drives have happened, and I want to dive in with a car that we talked about a lot on WhatsApp over the last few weeks and we obviously have to address, which is the Gordon Murray T50.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I've ordered one.
Is it replacing your Jumeira or coming alongside the Jumeira?
I don't remember.
You haven't got a clue, do you? Tony has a habit of just blind ordering multi-million pound hypercars. I can't stop the guy. He's obsessed. Well, yes. Okay, so just as a sort of recap, this is Gordon Murray, the man who designed the McLaren F1, amongst many other genius Formula One cars. He is renowned as being an incredible car designer. But there has been a good 20, 30 years where he hasn't done too much.
Yeah, yeah.
But has been heralded as, oh my God, it's Gordon Murray. And I think it's long been spoken about the fact that he will one day build a successor to the F1. And oh my God, there's a Gordon Murray car coming. Well, here it is. And the whole internet covered the launch. Paul Wallace was there. Oh. The whole internet. I mean, you know when Paul Wallace goes to a static reveal?
Yeah, with his tattoos.
With his tattoos going, oh, I hate McLaren F1. What's this? He genuinely hates the McLaren F1. I was like, why are you at that launch? You know everyone's been invited. Shout out to Paul. We love you, really.
Yeah, we do.
But yeah, so It's a naturally aspirated V12 engine. Revs to, what, 12,000 RPM? Is that stupid? Manual, lightweight, central driving position. But I think we both agree that it's snorefest.
Oh, I'm not interested.
Not interested.
Absolutely now, not.
Would you be interested if it was 150 grand?
Of course.
Okay. Hold on a sec.
But no, wait.
Yeah.
It's still hideous.
Yes. Okay, so like this is what I want to get into.
Yeah.
It's not just, okay, the price tag, which is multiple millions, I think 2.3 or 5 or something. Just, I don't care. I don't know what it is because I don't care.
But is he actually going to make it?
Exactly. Is this a bit of a, we would make it if people want to buy it type thing? You know, if we get enough orders, we'll make it. Yeah. But if we don't, you'll never hear from us again. TVR.
Where is that car?
Oh, I don't know. We should ask Schmee. But the thing is, right, okay, look, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be a hater here. And Gordon Meyer, as I say, he is a genius. And as an F1 nut, I appreciate and respect and admire all the work he's done. This feels like the reason I don't like this is it feels like a tiny bit of a gimmick, a tiny bit of a, I'm going to take all these McLaren F1 elements and it looks too similar to McLaren F1, as in like, oh, you've been a bit freaking straightforward
which, by the way, was a pile of poo that the original McLaren F1 to drive.
I'm not gonna get into this because do you know the comments we're gonna get if we start slagging off McLaren F1? I know
because a lot of these people wouldn't have even got in it. I mean,
it deserves its own episode because I can't have you just like slyly go, by the way, do you know the McLaren F1 is crap? Like, we can't get away with that. So do not worry, people. We'll be back with Tony's reasoning as to why he thinks the McLaren F1 is awful. That's going to be an interesting episode. But this car, you know, I feel like the internet went crazy for it because they felt like they should. Oh, naturally aspirated V12. Oh my God, 12,000 RPM. Oh my God, manual gearbox, Gordon Murray. Without actually going, well, does it look good? Is it going to be built? Is it affordable? Like all these questions which you kind of have to, oh, people do ask of Ferrari, of McLaren, of Bugatti, etc. But people kind of glossed over because it looked good or it made sense on an Instagram caption. Do you agree? Like,
I absolutely agree. And it's going to be put in the same price bracket as the Project One and the Speedtail, right?
Yeah. So and the Valkyrie.
Yeah. Well, I would have all of them over that car.
Yes. And like, I would love to say I admire the fact that he's gone out there to do it, but I don't really, because I don't think it's revolutionary, especially when you hear what they're planning with Valkyrie, especially you hear Project One, which we should touch upon because lots of track testing spy shots of the Project One came out today, actually, I think, or yesterday. So it's a bit like, feel like it's a cop-out. I feel like it's an easy thing to do. I'll just make a car that looks similar to the McLaren F1. Put that, what is that fan?
Yeah, I know.
And what's worse is he said he could have incorporated the fan more subtly, like he could have hidden the fan, but just stuck it on there as a nod towards the old Brabham fan.
Yeah,
car.
I mean, you got to hold your hands up. He's, you know, of what he's done and
oh my God, genius!
But he's a genius. You know, I admire Dyson, but I don't care for his Ubers. Do you know what I mean? Like, who cares? Do you know what I mean, though?
Yes, I care. I'm just a bit frustrated. What frustrated me was the hype. The fact that on that day, everyone and their dog, except me and Twiggy, came out with a video in that car talking about, I'm so exciting, oh my God. When actually I think there's a lot of question marks and we just all need to step back for 2 seconds and go, okay, when it's the international press launch and we're driving 6 of them, like fine, to be applauded. But anyone can make up a car on paper that sounds good.
What, is he going to make 6? I mean, we don't even know if it's going to be 6.
Well, that's what I mean. I actually know someone who has placed an order. So I'm sure if one person has, there will be others.
Of course.
And I don't know what the deposit scheme is, but I imagine that's
a lot
and probably financing a lot of the project. But yeah, as I say, it would be easier to sit. We could sit here and come up with the dream hypercar, couldn't we?
Well,
if we wanted to.
Chiron.
Well, you know.
I mean, it's the same money. I mean, it's...
I love the Chiron. I off camera spent about half a day with the Chiron in Geneva. Oh, blue carbon. Had a Ferrari badge on the front. Unbelievable. But I was just like, that's the
stuff. A friend of mine has ordered one.
No way.
I mean, yeah.
What's the waiting time?
The only reason why he hasn't got his yet, because he's been looking at the currency. So when you're buying something like that, you're paying euros,
of
obviously.
Course.
So when the euro and the pounds crap, it makes a couple of hundred grand difference. I mean, it's huge.
Whoa, casual. So,
yeah. It doesn't matter to him. He probably earns 8.5 million quid a day. But yeah. But that, you know, that's why he's been holding.
Okay, so he's holding off rather than them saying. Because I would imagine you can't just go and order a shoe on the say, it'll be here in 3 months, sir.
No, you know, I think there's a process.
Cool. See you in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, that car is amazing. But I mean, on paper, as in. What should be the dream hypercar? As in, I feel like that's what Gordon Murray's done. He's sat down and gone, okay, well, everyone loves the McLaren F1. No one's doing a central driving position apart from Speedtail. People love a naturally aspirated car. Let's make it rev really high. Do you know what I mean?
No one does manuals anymore.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, no, sure. Again, separate episode. but until it's built, because also if you look at some of the interior pictures, some of those buttons and stuff, I think, are from not the original McLaren F1, like from an original Ford Escort. Like some of the interior details, I'm like, ooh, let's skip past that.
Yeah, I didn't look at great detail, to be honest, because I just don't care. I honestly wasn't bothered about it.
I think people are going to be upset by this. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I think we're going to have a lot of people saying that this is the best car in the world and we don't understand and we don't appreciate Gordon Murray for who he is and what he's doing. But we do. And this is just our opinion, as always. And we're always entitled to our opinion. And that's just our thoughts. And guaranteed, as many people have pointed out, there will be a main channel video in about 2 years' time when I drive one and I go, this is the best thing ever.
Well, you can relay B-roll this.
Yeah, because that's what seems to be. I start to notice so many great comments of people going, Sam on behind the glass, what a pile of poo. Sam on seen through glass, I love this car. It's often because here I'm talking without actually experiencing something and we're just, you know, sharing opinions before I get up close to it. I am fundamentally just a fan. Put me in any car and I'm going to probably start really liking it because I get to drive it for free. Like, I get to be around it for free. Like, it's very hard to then step back and go, actually, it's crap.
Yeah. It's very different to having it for an hour or half a day to actually living with it as well, by the way. So you're excited because, oh my God, this is unbelievable. But actually, if you run it for a period of time, you'd probably come to the same conclusion that you have sitting here.
That's exactly it. And the most important thing is the whole point of this podcast is to give perspective, to allow us to elaborate, allow us to reflect, to talk about things that have happened or are going to happen. Because often when I'm filming, or I'm sure even when you've got cars coming in and out of the dealership, you're sort of quick and you're acting on the sort of moment, but you need time sometimes to reflect and go, you know what? That AMG GTR I had was actually really good.
But at the time,
I didn't appreciate, you know, so you need time to do things. So yeah, basically don't come at me when I start fanboying about the 250. Anyway, let's move on because there is a car which we can be positive about, the idea of. The car that we're both salivating at the idea of. M3 Touring.
Oh my God.
It's happening!
Yes.
Oh, now this came from BMW Direct in a very cool way, I think. They basically just teased this kind of rear end shot of clearly a Touring with twin tailpipes or what must be quad tailpipes. Basically just saying, it's coming.
It's coming.
Now, the question is here. Firstly, M3 Touring, didn't they do a few E30s, or have I made that up? Was that an aftermarket thing?
I think this is the first ever M3 Touring ever.
I would agree.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe there'll be a Sultan of Brunei special series that ran that we don't know about. But I agree. I think this is the first ever production M3 Touring, which is insanely exciting. And it's kind of cool because it suggests BMW have kind of noticed that over the years people have kept asking. There's obviously sufficient demand now that they've gone, right, well, heck, let's build it. Clearly people are going to buy them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always used to think that BMW and Audi had an agreement of like, we'll build a saloon and a coupe of a fast saloonish car,
sure,
and you can have an estate car, because Audi don't build apart from the RS5, but they don't build a saloon RS4, do they?
Good point.
Only buy an estate. So they've left Mercedes and BMW to make the saloon cars,
sure,
and they've constructed.
But Audi and BMW had a sort of gentleman's handshake.
It just seems that...
Interesting.
There
was an RS4 saloon, there wasn't there, a few generations ago.
There was, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, maybe, but you've got to question why they've never done it before. I think with the fanboying online for tourings for estates at the moment, it makes sense. Will people actually go out and buy them? Who knows? Because...
I'd like one.
I know I'd like one, but what we don't know yet is what shape it's going to be on. because I would highly doubt it's going to be, I don't know all my codes, I don't know my BMW codes.
Nor do
but
I.
The current M3 and the very beautiful newish 3 Series Touring, which I really wanted, the 340i, so I don't think it's going to be that.
So it will be, it will. So we think 2022?
I thought 2021.
Okay.
I think they're launching it imminently.
So it will look like that, but just with, it'll look like the M3.
No, I think it's the new with the horrible grills, with the kidney grills.
Got you.
I think that's what it is.
So it'll be there'll be a facelift then, because they'll all go in line, mate.
Yes, I think basically what they're saying is when new M3 comes out, which everyone knows is imminent,
yeah,
there will be a touring version.
Okay. To which point they will put them kidney grills on the current 3 Series and the 4 Series as well. So that will be the facelift.
Yes,
so
you're right.
That will come first, then the M car.
Yes, I would agree.
Yes.
So I think, as far as I know, 3 and 4 Series facelift with the horrible grills that everyone's shocked by, like October,
yeah,
November time. That's real soon.
Yeah.
And then you're right, I think beginning of next year, the M range, which will include a touring. That's what I think.
Yes.
So that's the only bit I'm going to hold breath on. Because as we know from the launch pictures...
It's probably one of the only showed us a bit at the back.
The 4 Series was hideous.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen it in M spec yet.
No.
So we can hold hope.
Well, you know what it's going to look ruin like? It. You know what it could look like at the front? The
what?
New M135i.
No, a little worse than that,
because you think the grills were... Because on the pictures, they look like they're skinnier, don't
they? Yeah,
they
look much skinnier.
Okay, fine.
Sort of looking a bit retro. A disaster, isn't it? Yeah. So they could really ruin that. Because for me, right now, the current 3 Series Touring is one of the best-looking BMWs for a long time.
I agree. It's a very good car.
Very good-looking.
And even the inside as well.
Oh, everything. Immaculate. I mean, let's not fanboy, but yeah. I mean, you all know that I'm a fan of that. And that was my, you know, other choice over the X3. But I don't think it's going to be that car. If it is that car, they'll sell by the bucket load. It'll be expensive though, huh?
Please do not go and buy one list.
Really?
This is my advice now.
Because they'll be what, 75 grand?
Oh.
A bit more maybe?
But they will be about 75. It'll be RS4 money, won't they? So there will be that money. But honestly...
Even with the hype?
Well, I mean, people are going to go out and go crazy for them. But don't forget, there'll be a competition... By the way,
yeah, of course,
because
naturally,
that's what they do. But do not go and give lists one, because honestly, in 6 months after they're released, they'll be 10 grand off.
Well, take the M5 as a prime example, right? A car that had a lot of hype when it came out, a lot of excitement, 100 grand, and now you're selling them at 70. 60.
I've sold my one as well, gone.
This was gonna be saved for later on. Actually, no, I will save it. Anyway, so yours is gone. Congrats, mate. Well done.
Sold.
Good at your job, aren't you?
Not bad.
Sometimes. Okay, so M3 Touring, we're definitely excited about, but I'm apprehensive until we see full images, full details. Let's hold our breath.
Well, from the back in the dark, it looks lovely.
I would agree. Could say that about many other things too.
Yeah.
But a few other things that have kind of been dripping through in the sort of testing pictures. Where I mentioned it earlier, AMG Project One, we've slagged it off before saying it's never going to get built. Well, Mercedes put a big middle finger up to us this week because, we've seen some pictures of the car actually on track, looking a lot more production ready, still in heavy camo, but with proper tail lights and things like that. And it suggests that a car is coming. I mean, we don't know a lot more, really, apart from that. They just keep showing photos of it, but not really talking about any of the internals or any of the engine or mechanics of it. So let's wait and see.
Yep.
But cool, if they do it, great. Really happy about that. Another car, which has now been teased in more production-looking form, the Maserati MC20. A car I am so excited about. And Tony, don't give me that look, because we have spoken about it before. This is the all-new... Well, it's the sort of follow-up that... It's going to be so expensive, this car. They're basically saying it's the follow-up to the MC12.
Oh, my God.
But it's a all-new Maserati twin-turbo V6 engine on a...
Giulia engine.
Basically, but it's all-new. Yeah. on a version of a 4C-esque chassis tub. So small, mid-engined, and this is supposed to be the realization of the Alfieri concept, which was the front-engined. It looked like the new Gran Turismo.
Right, okay. But so it doesn't look anything like a Roma?
No, mid-engine, little baby mid-engine. I'm trying to think, it's sort of, there's not really much that goes up against, but if you take the 8C from Alfa and then take the MC12 from Maserati, these are the two cars that have been spoken about a lot in all the press materials. I think this is going to be like, literally, don't laugh, like a 350 grand car.
Oh my God.
I genuinely think this is going to be 500 units or probably more because the world's gone crazy. 1,000 units, whatever. MC20. I so hope I'm wrong. No matter what, it's going to be 200 grand once spec'd. No matter what. That's my first bet. But I just get the feeling, a bit like with the XE Project 8 when I used to read their press materials. If you start talking about MC12, you're not going to bring out a car for 95 grand, are you?
Well, it can't be, because what have Alfa just released with that stupid GT, that car you drive?
The GTA.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right. The Maserati is going to be more than that for a start. Mm-hmm. And that's nearly a 150.
I messed up that piece a bit because I said in the video I thought Alfa had a better chance of selling the Giulia GTA than Jaguar did with the Project 8. But someone made a good point, which I reflected upon, which is the Project 8 really was a bespoke car. Firstly, it was like 95% different from an XC. Completely different engine, had to be left-hand drive because of the way they fitted it all in. Kind of didn't make sense, but explained the 100 grand price difference. The Giulia GTA is 100 grand more than a Giulia, if not more, 120 grand more, but doesn't have that kind of level of complexity. Same engine, a little bit of a tune, and a load of bodywork.
Mate, the inside's exactly the same.
Inside's exactly the same, apart from roll cage behind you. Like, I still love it, and I do still think they have a better chance of selling it. I do, because I think Alfa people are just differently bred internally. But...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It makes less sense, the price jump.
You know what I don't get about that? And we haven't really spoke about this car. No. I don't spoke before, but since you've done your video.
Good point.
I mean, there's a huge cage in the back.
Yeah.
You can't get in.
No.
But there's two rear doors. I mean, why don't you
So what are you saying is get rid of the doors?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you open the door. You can't put anything in it.
Well, you can. What they've done quite cleverly with the GTA is they've... you're going to laugh. They've moulded places for your helmets.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't you have them on?
Well, yeah, but I guess when you're driving to the track, on your way to the track, you can have them strapped in.
Okay.
Bit better than the Project A, which literally you could not put anything back there.
Okay.
But I guess I could argue the same about your GT3 RS, but it has two doors. which is interesting.
Which is sold.
No.
I've sold it.
Oh, I'm quite sad.
I am actually really sad because I'm not going to get a better car. But
no.
I can go and buy another one worse ways.
Okay. I think you will at some point.
I will at some
it's
point.
It's going to be like the 488. You're going to end up having 15 GT3 RS.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Wow, gone.
Yeah, and the guy that's bought it has wrapped it satin black.
Legend.
As in PPF.
Legend.
And it looks amazing.
Da bomb.
It's not quite finished yet, but as soon as
I can imagine, it looks awesome. Oh, yeah. Such a good looking car.
Yeah.
It's the problem is, and we've spoken about it again before. It's just not a great road car.
Like
it's
terrible.
Yeah, it's so good looking and it's so brilliant. And I would want, one, but it's just not a very good road car. Mm-mm. So you just pick the GT3.
Oh, I loved it, and the GT3. For
just
the road.
Pick the GT3.
It's perfect.
What were we talking about before this?
The GTA.
The GTA and the MC20. Yeah. So anyway, I'm super excited about this Maserati thing. I'm kind of a Maserati fan. I'm not really, but I'm kind of a Maserati fan.
We drove one of them as well. Do you remember?
Yeah, of course. Gran Turismo S. That was a cabrio. It was a test drive, and we were like, oh my God. We both looked at each other and like, this is a pilot. Again, sounded good though.
Yeah,
sounded
good.
Maybe we need to do another one of those test drive series. I mean, fucking hell, I need to make some money first. But they were fun.
Yeah.
A couple of cars that we're waiting to find out more about. Speaking of cars that have launched though, that we now know lots about, Ferrari Roma, which I'm driving next weekend. So I think when this podcast goes out in a couple of days, I'll be driving it. I'm worried by the reviews because they've been quite flat. I think I was expecting singing and dancing because when I saw the car, read over the specs in detail, I got really excited that this was going to be a very new and very different Ferrari.
Yeah.
But all of the reviews have been a little bit. It's a GTC4 Lusso with two doors.
I did say that.
Hey.
Sitting here.
Back off. but we'll see, and we will talk about it in more detail once I've driven it.
Thank you.
A car that's been receiving a lot of press, but has been around for a while, McLaren 620R. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they just did an embargoed release of that car.
Well, they obviously haven't sold them all because it's all I've seen on the internet.
I was going to say, I think that's all it says to me because genuinely, didn't that car come out like last year?
Yeah.
And then clearly they've gone, oh God, we need some press about this. I've done an embargoed drive.
Yeah, we've got some deposits on them and we haven't sold them.
Too hardcore, right? I mean, too much.
Well,
it's a GT4 road car.
It's a GT4 road car, but they said, from what I gather, I mean, I've not been near it, obviously. I've not even seen one. I've seen pictures, but I've not even seen one. From what I gather, it's a GT4 road car,
yeah,
but a little bit more compliant, as in... I don't really know. Just buy a GT3 RS.
There we go. So I guess that brings us up to date a little bit on recent car news. I don't think there was anything else major that we felt the need to discuss. Anything that you were desperate to rant about? I feel like people enjoyed your rants.
Yeah, we spoke about the Black Series, didn't we?
Yes, we spoke about it, and our price speculation was confirmed.
You knew.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, but I...
Yes, he did.
No! I knew...
Bang on.
I knew, like, I know the MC20 is going to be that much. As in, I don't know, but I know. Basically, my old PR background, like, I essentially can read a press release and I read exactly what they're trying not to say.
You can just tell.
Like, you can... PR spiel is very easy to read.
The car's a joke, mate.
Yeah.
It's an absolute joke,
right?
Yeah,
makes no sense. And even I saw Chris Harris tweeting a similar thing, which was like, Black Series always represented this super cool idea, this super cool part of AMG and Mercedes. Have they just got that completely wrong with this AMG GTR Black Series thing?
And you know why they've probably done it as well? Because they know that they're going to sell them.
Yeah.
And instead of selling them for 250 grand or less,
yeah,
and people getting the overs for them, they're thinking, we'll have the money now. We'll have it up front. We'll charge $330 for it. No one's going to pay overs over that.
No.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to pay $330 for them anyway, but...
And the car just... Oh, well, let's not get into it. We did a whole rant on it already.
We did, yeah.
So moving on, one thing I wanted to talk about briefly before we get Alex, our patron, on. I saw yesterday an M5 competition in bright red.
Is that the new car?
It was actually an 18 plate.
Okay.
But it was paint.
Okay.
And it got me thinking, because it looked amazing.
Imola red?
Very bright red.
I think they used to call it... No, Imola was like the... Yeah, but anyway.
Okay. Very nice.
Beautiful.
And it got me thinking, cars that you don't often see in bright colours or different colours. Because when I saw the new Cayenne GTS that had been brought over from Germany in a... very bright orange.
And I saw one in the showroom the other day.
And it actually...
looks terrible.
I was going to say, it looks amazing. That's so funny. So I was trying to think of cars that do or don't suit these bright colours, because I think M5s, I've really only ever seen black, silver, grey.
Blue.
Blue.
The
fair.
Most common
dark
colour.
Blue.
Yeah, that blue.
Chill out. Chill out, car dealer. They're always blue. I have a stat.
Yeah.
I've never seen one in bright red. It looked amazing.
No, yeah. Fair.
And so Cayenne again, all those colours. But I was trying to think of other things that do or don't suit really bright colours. Or
Land Rover made that orange car. Do you
yes,
remember?
That burnt orange look.
Yeah,
didn't work out, did it?
No.
Range Rovers, I think, suit darker colours again.
They do.
There's too much of the car.
Yeah.
But except the layer cake yellow Range Rover.
But oh. But I think all big cars suit dark colours. But if you've got a big car, I think you've got to have a dark colour in general. Okay. I know that M5 you probably thought looked amazing because of the first one you've seen.
Yeah, it's just different. And
but look at F12s and Lussos.
Well, okay, good point.
Have them in red.
I was literally just going to say that. I mean, especially Lussos and FFs, for some reason, as Ferraris, they don't work in red.
They look terrible.
They look really bad in red. Yeah. And that's always been a front-engine V12 Ferrari thing, I think. You know, dark blues, dark greens, etc. work really, really well. Yeah. But for some reason, red.
Grey, black.
Yeah. Even when they did the special colours for like 812 Superfast launch, still, you're like, not really going to go for
not
it.
Not for me.
Aston Martin, again, you do see a few in blues and yellows and stuff like that. I think they can kind of pull it off sometimes, but the DB11, for example, the only cool colour I've seen on that has been a really rich, like, triple-layered blue that I drove in South Africa. Amazing.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, greys.
Dark colours.
Dark colours.
Yeah, it's big.
Never see a yellow DB11, do you?
Not well. Not really, no.
Not that you want to. Have you ever had a car come into stock which has had a colour that you're just like, that is going to be tough to sell? Or a spec?
Probably one of yours.
You're not wrong there, son. You're not wrong there.
You walk right into that.
I definitely do. What a dick. But you must sometimes get cool and be like, that is going to be... Because there's that Carrera GT that's been on the market forever, which is the McDonald's spec, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yellow with a red interior.
Yeah.
And they must be going, or is it yellow with a red? Or yellow?
It's yellow outside, isn't it?
Yeah. Tough to move on.
Yeah, I'm sure I've had loads of cars down the years and thought, oh my God, what's going on?
Never going to get rid of that.
Absolutely not. I mean, they do, everything sells in the end, mate, but obviously there's a price and then how long it takes.
Harder to shift.
For sure.
That's why they call it resale red for Ferrari, isn't it? Except if you're buying a Lusso V12.
Yeah, we call it something else, but yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, of course, give it on the low down. But it's interesting because Porsche is a good example. We don't often get the choice to do really quirky, like Audi exclusive and blah, blah, blah. As a UK market, we're sort of advised against it, aren't we? You know, often when you go to the dealers, it's very complicated and hard to do. And I imagine because the right-hand drive thing is already complex enough, right?
Well, they don't want them back either.
They don't want them back. Yeah. Freaking hell.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, don't have a... Oh, my God. I remember once seeing an Audi A7.
Okay.
In a... Oh, my God. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. It was on, like, 18-inch wheels.
Oh, my God.
Brand new car being specced.
Yeah.
It was a light green, like an awful, awful light green with like green and brown or like a tan inside.
Oh.
And it was honestly, and I said when I walked in, I said, have you sold that?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, it was like special order. I said, I hope you got a big deposit. Yeah. Because if the bloke don't go through with that, you're never going to sell it.
Never going to get rid of it.
Honestly, the worst car I'd ever seen. It was terrible.
Comment below, what are the...
Sorry
the
if you own that.
Yeah, yeah. Comment below if you have that car. What are the weirdest specs you've seen? Because there are some out there, and you do every now and again pop into a dealership and you'll come across a car and you'll go, someone ordered this?
Yeah.
And it got me thinking because last week in Geneva, I filmed a Diablo, one of the last Diablos off the line, if not the very last Diablo Roadster off the line, which was chroma flare paint, you know, that paint that changes colour.
Yeah, yeah.
With a green and yellow leather interior.
Oh.
It was nuts, mate. It was nuts. But brave and hard to sell. So I'd be interested to see what other people.
There's a lot of cars
across.
Like that in Dubai, mate. Like, you know, when you go to Dubai, like, they're all them crazy
wacky specs.
Wacky specs, yeah. Absolutely not. Not here.
No, everyone plays it very low key. Like, I remember the Taycan I test drove and it was grey on grey on grey. I was like, how very British. Anyway, I think it's time to get our patron, Alex, on. We're going to be quizzing him about, his car life and his car history. I really hope he's prepared for Tony to absolutely ruin his day. And then obviously getting his opinions on some of the topics we've discussed today. So 2 seconds and Alex will be joining us. Alex, can you hear us?
I can.
Oh my God, look at this. Technology is amazing.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I cannot believe you pulled this off.
I don't really know how I have. If you drop out at any point, we'll call you back. But look, welcome to the show. Welcome to Behind the Glass. Thank you for your support. It's amazing to have you on. We're going to kick things off by just diving deep into you and your car life. And yeah. Tony, please be nice. Remember, this guy supports our podcast, okay?
I'll be nice. Don't worry.
Okay, so are you driving? Do you have a car currently, Alex?
Yes.
What,
yes.
Dare I ask what that car is?
So I'm very lucky that I've got a Porsche GT4.
Oh, chaos! Yeah! Well done, Alex. Good boy.
Can I just clarify for the audience? We didn't handpick Alex based on his car. That was, we had no idea what he was about to say. Congrats, sir. 981 or 718?
Because it's a better one.
So which one? The first one or the second one?
First one. So I've got the 981.
Good man.
Proper one.
Only it's not better, but...
No, it is better. It's not better, but it's better.
No. But anyway, it's... it's a Porsche.
Hold on a sec. Sit down, Tony. Alex, tell him why it's better.
So I think for somebody who hadn't had the 981, 718 is a fantastic car. I think if you go back to it, the 918, it's got a lot more soul. You got more feel. The noise, I think, a big thing with the cars nowadays is you lose the noise. So I was on track yesterday for a couple of hours and I got kicked off
because it's too loud.
Yeah, luckily their noise monitors weren't working, and then they switched the monitor at 3 o'clock and we got kicked off straight away.
Where was you yesterday? What track was you at?
Yesterday we were at Bedford Autodrome, so the Palmer Sports track.
Nice.
Yeah, they're strict at Bedford though. Yeah. Really strict. Yeah. Which is amazing because there's nothing around there.
Exactly. RAF base and a racing track, so surely
the planes get upset. Be careful of the planes. But there's something about that engine that's just a little bit more emotive than the 718 mm-hmm. engine. Whilst the 718 engine might be better, it's just you have to really rev it up to like 7,000-8,000 RPM before it does anything, and then even when you get there you're like, oh.
It's the exhaust, it's the filters. It's not just that. It's not the car.
It's the power delivery. Alex will agree with me here. That's why I got him on.
You know.
I knew. No, I didn't know.
No.
It's just more enjoyable. But well, look, congratulations. Amazing car. What colour have you got?
So it's white.
Beautiful.
I'm sure it's going to get some slating from Tony, but it's got the Porsche decals down the side. And then Porsche on the rear wing.
I mean, he knows me well. But no. Fair, look, the fact that it's a GT4 Porsche... honestly, yep. I don't care what it is. It's a Porsche, so fair play.
Have you, is that your first real sports car? Did you step up to that from something else? Talk us through your brief history before that.
So we were lucky about 2 years ago. We got our first sort of big car, I'd say, was a Mercedes C43.
Oh, quirky.
You don't like them.
With the exhaust.
Convertible C43 to a...
So we had that for about 2 weeks.
I was going to say.
And then we tried to get a mortgage and told to get rid of it.
Okay, well done. Because that's not a real car.
And we went on to a Jaguar F-Type.
Beautiful. Which engine?
V6.
Great, great. Still, because lighter.
For me, better. Dream car is the E-Type. So it was the closest. I'd say that's the best and the worst car I ever owned.
Okay, nice.
Best car whilst I had it.
Sure.
It was the worst car when I tried to sell it. I think it took me 18 months.
Oh, you should have given it to me, boy. I'd have sold it in a week.
You did well with my F-Type, Tony.
Of course, I'll do well with all your cars.
You do well. I do hear they're hard to shift. I have heard this before.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because there's so many of them or what, but...
No one wants them.
That's a bit harsh. We wanted them. They're brilliant cars. Dick. So V6 F-Type...
Yeah.
And then to the GT4?
GT4 whilst I still had the F-Type.
Oh, okay. Two-car garage. What a dream.
Yes, and then now GT4 and A35.
Oh, mate. He's killing it.
A35 is actually really good.
And I would say better than the stupid A45.
Well, I mean, it's 15 grand cheaper.
Well, there you go. With so much performance.
Yeah.
Do you ever get in that car and go, oh, I wish I just had that extra whatever many horsepower?
Speed-wise, no.
Okay.
I think I've not driven the new A45. I think A35's great. Engine is just a little... Engine lets me down. I think performance-wise, it's great. There's just no feel to it.
Yeah, there's no feel. But I'll bet down the road on a B road, there wouldn't be much between that and your GT4, actually, to be fair.
I think the Merc would probably outdo the GT4.
Tony's favourite gloat was when we took my Cayman S and the 360 out and we were giving it some large. And actually, to be fair, you were quite surprised by how quick the 360 was.
Was I?
Yes. Don't do this now.
Never admit it.
Never admit it. And then he got out and went, oh, sorry, mate. I wasn't actually in sport plus mode. I was just in sport.
Yeah, I was short-shifted at 3,000 reps.
No wonder I couldn't keep up. Well, look, beautiful car history. I have to applaud you there. I think some fantastic choices. Is the GT4 a bit of a keeper? Are you eyeing up something next?
No, it's a keeper. I think if I was as rich as Tony...
No one's as rich as Tony.
It'd be a GT3 RS, but I think the difference, I haven't driven one yet.
Oh my God, you have... I've just sold mine, Alex.
He's just sold his.
I've just sold mine.
Yeah, just revealed that on the podcast today.
Yeah, it's honestly, if you can get yourself in one, it's honestly, if you like the GT4, it's honestly the best car, honestly.
I mean, I looked at a GT3 and I think the GT4 to the GT3, I don't think it's worth the money.
It is.
GT3 RS.
You're speaking to the wrong guy.
Yeah. Honestly, GT4 and GT3 are night and day, mate.
I think it's absolutely a different driving experience, though, I have to say. I mean, like, obviously, I kind of get where you're coming from, Alex, where it's similar kind of stuff in a different way. Same shit, different bucket, basically, is what I was trying to say in a polite PC way.
Well, that's not.
But it is in the terms of track-focused road car.
No, it's absolutely not at all. I mean, you're deluded. I mean, the GT4 is a manual. It's mid-engine.
Yeah, you can get a manual GT3. What are you thinking of, PDK or manual for the GT3?
PDK. Just because it's more for track use, I think. And when I bought the GT4, it was, no, never take this on track. Keep it on the road. So the manual was the one. But I think track-wise, it'd have to be the PDK.
Yeah, so your GT4 is all right in a manual because, without being disrespectful, it's not really that fast. But a GT3 manual is too fast for a manual. You have to have a PDK because it's 500 horsepower. It's too fast.
I'm going to disagree with you so much. What about the touring?
Who cares about the touring?
What do you mean, who cares about the touring? One of the greatest cars ever made.
Well, it's not a track car, is it?
No, it's for touring.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fine. You're not going to be going that fast.
Well, it depends who you're driving with.
Well, okay. I mean, I've never seen you go fast in your life.
I think you struggled to keep up with me when I was in my 540Z and you were in your 570S. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I think GT4, I think you're onto a winner, onto a bit of a keeper. I get where you're coming from, but I think, yeah, try and jump in a GT3 and a 3RS, get some driving time and see what you think, because I'm blown away by the 991.2, both the 3 and the 3RS. I just think are spectacular cars. But look, let's get you involved in some of the topics we've been discussing today. We've been running through things and we don't want to be too biased with our negativity. what were your thoughts? Did you check out, did you see much about that crazy Gordon Murray T50 hypercar, the McLaren F1 successor? Did you see that news?
I did. I think it was incredible. I think that could have been the thing to save McLaren.
Oh, the thing to save McLaren.
If it was a McLaren. Yeah.
See, we kind of slagged it off. Because we didn't like how much it costs, firstly. We apart from the fact that Tony buys all the hypercars, he doesn't actually like talking about them.
No, I order them. I don't actually buy them.
He orders them. Sorry, you just order them. So. And the thing that annoyed us was that it was kind of like somebody had written down on a piece of paper the dream hypercar without actually kind of backing it up with, firstly, any proper plans to build it, secondly, any real thoughts. It's like, you know, it's great as an idea. Is it a reality? I don't know. And if you think of it against Valkyrie, Project One, and Speed Tail, would you still personally go for a Gordon Murray T50?
Depends on the warranty.
Oh, good man. He's thinking with a sensible head.
It's either going to be incredible or it's just going to be a flop.
Yeah. I just worry that it's never going to turn on. You're going to go for the gear lever and it's going to fall off.
So it could be a McLaren.
Good point. Okay, well, I think Alex is probably from the same frame of mind that the majority of the audience are going to be, and we're in for a bit of hate here. Moving on to a car that surely we're all going to agree on here, the teased imagery of the BMW M3 Touring that came out. So I don't know if you saw this, but BMW have confirmed now that they are making an M3 Touring. We think for the first time. I don't know if you have any insight on that, but we're pretty sure it's going to be the first M3 Touring. Is that a car? Are you an estate kind of guy?
No.
How old are you, Alex? How old are you?
26. 26.
Yeah, he's 26, a bit young.
Yeah. Give it a couple of years, mate. Trust me. It comes out of nowhere. A puppy in an estate car catches you off guard. Okay, so then is this car not that exciting to you?
No, I think BMWs bore me.
Oh, fair.
Which I think is
I mean, you drive an A35. I mean, you can't really say that.
I wish there was a crossover between a BMW feel and drive and a Mercedes interior.
Ooh. See, I hate the Mercedes infotainment system.
It's too fiddly, yeah.
I think it's too fiddly.
Yeah.
But you like the quality?
I just think it's different. I think BMWs nowadays, they look like they just haven't changed for years. Which may be a good thing, you know, you don't change what's working, but...
Have you been in a new one, Alex? Have you been in the new BMWs, though? Have you been in the new ones?
I test drove a M2 Comp 68.
No. That's got the old infotainment system and that. You need to go in the new cars, mate, with new digital dash.
But I'll just side with him again here because he supports the podcast. So I'm trying to be nice. I would agree, as much as I love the infotainment system, the design language, and I've harked on about this on Seen Through Glass for years, has not changed for 10 years. Like, if you squint, all the buttons are pretty much in the same place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the infotainment system that is amazing.
Yeah. But they have updated it more in the last couple of years than they ever have.
Yes.
And I agree, when you get in a 2-year-old M2 comp, it does look 10 year old inside. I do get that. But the newer one, the newest, like what's in your X3.
Yeah.
It is more. It's updated. Yes. It's a bit more in line.
It's been finesse.
But them big double screens in the Mercedes, they do.
Nice.
Yeah, they do. But it's just fussy. Yeah. I agree with you. It's just
navigating the system.
The first 2 weeks, I wanted to throw it out the window. I think when you get the whole, when you get sort of, you find your own way around it. I think it's.
Yeah. You got.
I think I prefer the old Mercedes and entertainment system that I had on the C42 with a big screen in the middle, the manual dials. The sort of the pad in the middle.
I still can't get over you had a C43 convertible. It's literally one of my least favourite cars ever made. But anyway, each to their own. Okay, and then finally, to wrap things up, we spoke about Ferrari Roma, a car that I'm actually going to be driving, when this podcast comes out in a few days' time, which I can't wait for. Are you on the... It's a Marmite car, so are you on the love or the hate on the looks of that thing?
The looks, I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, welcome to the party. But what Ferrari doesn't? I mean, all Ferraris look good.
I still not...
Looking on the F90, I think that looks...
Iffy,
yeah.
See, I still am not convinced by an 812 Superfast. I'm coming around to the way it looks, but I'm not, you know... And the F12, I was never that big a fan of.
Really?
Yeah. And Rome is a whole new design language, so people could, you know, it's a bit... It's Marmite, mate.
Yeah, maybe.
What about... Do you like the way California looks?
Not really, no.
Well, there you go.
It's not a Porsche.
It's not a Porsche, exactly.
You figured out pretty well.
Okay, well, yeah, as I say, so you're liking the way it looks. You like the idea of it. Could it be, like, if you were a rich man like Tony, could that be an entry-level Ferrari for you, or do you think you'd always try and go a little for the V12 or for a mid-engine V8?
I think I just...
Still feels like the missing this car, doesn't it?
It'd have to be special, yeah. It'd have to give something that I think the California hasn't done. The California's still a bit soft. I think it'd have to give that driving experience back rather than it just looks incredible.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Basically, we were saying earlier, my nervousness comes around the fact that I was super excited and then all the reviews that have already come out are all a bit like, it's nice. And I'm like, oh God, please be better than that.
Ferrari needs to be more than just nice. I think that's what their reputation is incredible. And
it's supposed to blow you away, isn't it?
If you've got 200 grand for Ferrari, just go and buy 488 and be done with it. That's that.
Or Challenge Stradale.
Oh, yeah, if you're only doing 4 miles a year, buy Challenge Stradale.
Very good point. I think that's a perfect place to wrap things up. Look, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for supporting us as well. It's been great to have a chat and learn about your quite incredible car history. We were lucky there because it could have gone downhill if you were like, well, I earned a 35-year-old. I don't know why.
I mean, he could have come off here crying.
Yeah, he could have come off here crying,
but
actually.
Well, you did well.
You started off well with the GT4. But yeah, been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for supporting. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon. For everyone else listening, if you want to be supportive like Alex of this podcast, head over to patreon.com/behindtheglass. If you're watching, make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications, and if you're listening to us, keep listening to us wherever you are, and we'll catch up with you very, very soon. Goodbye.
Thanks, Alex.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.